this house, we take time to give you praise. Lord, the precedent, Lord, has always been that you have always had a people. You have always had your hand on your people. You guided your people in the wilderness, Lord, with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. Father, you have never let us be alone on our own. You've always had your eye. Your gaze has always been on your people. Even when your hand was not apparent, Father, you either had your angel there or you were there or your gaze was there. Father, we have never been alienated from you. And for that, we are eternally grateful. What an amazing love. Can you say amen to that? What a wonderful love. Look at somebody and say, it's an amazing love. That's what we're singing. How about that? Bless the name of the Lord. Just worship the Lord intimately. Just close your eyes, if you will. You certainly don't have to, but just close your eyes and focus on the Lord. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me?
Hallelujah.
Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you.
Hallelujah. Isn't it good?
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, now I know it's true. Now it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. You are my
keep it right there. Sing, you are my King. Come on, folks. Sing it. Sing it.
Oh.
Has the power to save, but your heads, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity to get together like we are today. It's almost as if divinely you've instructed every man, every woman, every child to come to this place today. We find ourselves in your presence. We await to hear from you, and we give you what you deserve. That's our praise and our worship in the house of the Lord today. And let everyone say amen. Amen. Lights up, if you will. Look around at the beautiful body of Christ. Take a minute or two to step out from where you are and welcome one another to abundant life this morning. Wow.
Oh, good opinion.
So good. Good morning to everybody. Welcome to Abundant Life. You know, it's just 2 weeks before Christmas Sunday. Can you believe that? You getting the Christmas spirit yet? Good. I do want to mention that today is a milestone for several of us. I want to update you on some things going on in the body. And, you know, we pray for one another. When one has a need, we gather around that one and celebrate when the need is met. I do want to make you aware that in the past week, Michelle Griffin has been in and out of the hospital. Michelle, are you here today? Oh, praise is what she does. Healthier than she's been in a while. Also, our church has grown this past week. Ashley and Patrick Harriet had a precious little baby boy. I doubt they're here this morning. They're probably still recuperating. Also, Claritha Hughes has been in and out of the hospital this week. We're grateful for that. Griffin Pearson has been in and out of the hospital. He's a healed little boy. I see for the first time back after being in the hospital, Alan Hatchell and Judy. Where are you, Alan and Judy? You're looking good, Alan. Judy, you're doing good. And rolling in with her own chair, Lee Ackley, for the first time after several weeks of being healed after surgery. And Vivian Keyes for the first time in church on a Sunday morning after her hospitalization. Well, we do have a lot to thank the Lord for. He takes good care of his people. I do want to mention that tomorrow morning, Rosa Wright goes in for surgery. Pretty serious surgery. They're going to keep her 6 or 7 days at Carolina's Hospital. But her faith is strong, and so is ours for her. But our prayers are certainly with Miss Rosa tomorrow. Well, today is the first Sunday of the month. It's Bulletin Sunday. If you slipped in and did not get a bulletin that looks like this, raise your hands and the ushers will get one to you. Keep your hands raised until you receive a bulletin. Merry Christmas, celebrating Emmanuel. God is with us. You'll see all kind of things that are pertinent going on around here during the month of December. Now, the big news so far this month is our Christmas banquet next Sunday evening at 5:30. This is an annual ticketed event. We only have a few tickets left. They will go quickly after service. So if you don't have your ticket, you can get it. $8. It includes a wonderful Christmas buffet meal and a lot of entertainment. Jay Kennedy and his Christmas saxophone providing the entertainment this year. It's going to be great. We'll mention that this is not in your bulletin, but this Wednesday night at 7, join us for an evening of Christmas spirit. Lawrence Tuning sits at the piano, and we all sing Christmas carols together, along with some Christmas memories from down through the years. It's a great time for us here at Abundant Life this Sunday, or this Wednesday at 7. That's the last Wednesday we will be meeting in December. We suspend our Wednesday night services on the 16th, 23rd, and December 30th to give you time to be with your family. Also, you'll see in the bulletin, great big news, the big news of the year. Grayson and Chelsea Osborne, are they in the sanctuary? Don't know. If you are, holler. They're not. I can only imagine. The honeymooners, Grayson and Chelsea Osborne. Their picture in the bulletin. And if you would like to be a blessing to this newlywed couple, you can bring a gift or drop it off at the Welcome Center, and we'll see that they get it. Congratulations to the Lovebirds on this first Sunday in the month. You're hearing this maybe for the first time, but every now and then, once or twice a year, we have a Sunday morning movie event. And on that day, no praise, no worship, no teaching, no preaching. At 10 o'clock, lights are out. We usually pack the house out for a free movie. One of the greatest Christian movies ever produced will be airing here. Legally, I might say, and free. Start the new year off right. The first Sunday in 2016, Sunday morning, January 3rd at 10 o'clock, War Room plays right here. Get your strategy for the new year. What a great way to start the year off. Ushers, if you will come, and we prepare to give in tithe and offering. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord in this very special way. As you're preparing to give, I will mention that our missionaries had an active volcano just a few miles from their home in Managua. It's a land of many volcanoes. This one had been dormant for over 100 years and without warning erupted and lit up the sky. Brian and Millie immediately checked in to let us know they are safe. But they have a beautiful view from their backyard of this great mountain volcano erupting. Some of you may have seen pictures, but thank God for protecting our missionaries. And as a Christmas blessing to Brian and Millie, our missionaries in Managua, their son Luke was to be deployed today to Kuwait, and that has been delayed 1 week, and the Army gave him a pass. He will be deploying to Kuwait next Sunday, but the Army gave him a pass to go home and spend a week with his mom and dad. So Luke Hudson, our missionary son, is with them this close to Christmas before he leaves for Army service in the Middle East. So we're grateful for that. Now, I do want to mention just before Charlie Moore comes to bless us and the ushers serve you, that right after our service today, those of you who need to leave can be excused, but within 5 minutes after our official dismissal, those of you who can stay and would like to, the family extends an invitation for anyone who would like to witness a beautiful baby dedication. Robert and Sarah Turner, stand up, you two. You're still in love. Look at this. Love dripping. So much in love. One daughter, two daughters, and a son on the way. So much in love. These are among the most faithful. Robert and Sarah, we love and appreciate you. They're dedicating their brand new baby girl, Addie, to the Lord after service. And this is our policy here at Abundant Life. Things are changing. Every baby, though, deserves a blessing, regardless of mom and dad. Sometimes moms and dads are not married, sometimes not even in church, sometimes don't even know the Lord, but every baby deserves a blessing. And so what we do as a policy here is we observe baby dedications. Usually it's a private family ceremony. But if the family invites you and the church to participate and witness that, as is the case today for this faithful family, then we hope that you will join us in staying a few minutes after service to witness a beautiful baby dedication. Robert, again, thank you for loving God, your wife, your children, and our nation enough to carry in your physical body the marks of the battlefield. You're a hero, and we're grateful. Father, thank you for blessing us like you do. You are the very best, and you lavish your goodness on us in so many ways. And right now in your house, we honor you with an act of worship in obedience to your word. We give back a portion of what you've blessed us with financially. And we thank you that as we give back to you, you meet every need we have in your time. And we trust you in every way. You've been so dependable, and you deserve our trust. So thank you for receiving our gift as we worship you in this special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may remain seated. Charlie Moore blesses us now. Okay, we want to stop this and start it over.
Good. Check. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. How about that? There you go.
I thought I was loud enough without a microphone. Let's try it again. Kings of earth on a course unknown, bearing gifts from afar, hoping, praying, following yonder star. Silhouette of a caravan painted against the sky, wise men searching for the Holy Child. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the world. A star hangs over Bethlehem, a journey ends in the night. Three kings trembling behold that glorious sight. Heaven's treasure, Emmanuel, drawing men to bow down. Born nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tiny baby, born to wear that crown. Pure gold. Hope. One king held the frankincense, one king held the myrrh, one king held the purest gold, one king held the hope of the world. He held the
Charlie. Thank you, Miss Charlie. What a blessing. Should I? Really? Should I? Am I on? There he is. Okay, wait till I get on here. Can you hear me? Oh, there I am. Wow. No, I won't sing for you. The word today is both a history lesson and it is prophetic, speaking to present and future. One verse of scripture, we begin. In Matthew 24 and verse 37, the New Living Translation says this: when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. Jesus was asked in Matthew chapter 24 by his followers, tell us some of the signs of your second coming when you return to earth. And Jesus described many of the events that would be occurring in the day when he returned the second time. He mentioned wars and rumors of wars. In fact, I won't go through the laundry list. You can read today's newspaper or watch CNN, and that's what he said would be happening. But the secret we're going to look closely at this morning is Jesus said, it will be like it was in Noah's day when he returns for the church and the rapture. How was it exactly in Noah's day? Now, I've come to appreciate Noah more in the last few weeks. In fact, some of the things I will share today, a few of you men have already heard. With our men's fellowship just a month ago, I shared a little bit about Noah and my appreciation for him that has been renewed. Noah has gotten a bad rap down through the years. We have failed to appreciate what he really did. But if it were not for Noah and his single act of obedience to God, we would not be here today. This man could hear from God clearly. And he was obedient to what he heard God say. And I want to make 3 points quickly. The first two are real quick. I will linger a little on the third one. How was it in the days of Noah? Today, we're showing how history repeats itself. It's the days of Noah revisited. The first of 3 points. How was it in the days of Noah? Evil runs rampant throughout the whole world, just like it does today. Now, you know how I like all kinds of music. And I'll be a country fan for a minute here. I like Merle Haggard a little bit. You know, I'm going to see Merle and Willie in May. If the Lord doesn't return before Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard get here. Now, if the Lord does come back before I get to go see Willie and Merle, I'm going to ask the Lord to please let them in. I understand both Willie and Merle are going to have to check some things at the door to heaven to get in. But aren't we all going to have to check some things right there? We've been dragging around all of our life. We're going to have to let it go right then, if not before, in order to get in. But when I was a younger man, Merle Haggard recorded a Christian album. And one of the songs he wrote and recorded was a song called Jesus Take a Hold. And the lyric of the song went, Jesus, take a hold and see us through. And one verse says, the mighty roar of gunfire is now a local sound. And our city streets are filled with angry men. The law is now a mockery throughout our troubled land, and destruction seems to be the current trend. Jesus, take a hold and see us through. One line, though, that I want to highlight as we move on is the line that says, this world has never been in the awful shape it's in. Now, it would be easy to think that and agree with that, but that is not true. It's not historically nor biblically accurate. The world has been in bad shape before, and it is again. Jesus said one of the signs of the end times will be as it was in the days of Noah. It will be that way again. The world has never been in the awful shape it's in is a great line for a country song, but biblically, it's not true. I'll tell you, how it was in the days of Noah. You can read this in Genesis 6 later. The Bible actually says this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. In Noah's day, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything man thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Can you believe that is scripture? Genesis chapter 6. That's how it was in the days of Noah. Evil was so rampant throughout the whole earth. God was sorry he had created man and was deciding to destroy humanity, the highest order of his creation. Point number two, as it was in the days of Noah, it is also in our day. God is searching for those who will be saved by his grace. In the middle of all the evil running rampant in the earth, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's a scripture in one of the Chronicles that says the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the whole earth in search of someone whose heart is perfect toward him. And when he finds that person, the Bible says he will show himself strong on that person's behalf. So the eyes of the Lord are looking even to this day throughout the earth, searching as he was in the days of Noah for somebody who will be saved by his grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the message of grace, we talked about it a few weeks ago, has been restored to the church. That's the single greatest message being preached throughout the earth today, is the message of God's grace. It is such a loud word, such a strong, relevant revelation, that many are abusing it. Many are running amok with it. Many are taking advantage of God's grace. Many people are no longer faithful to God or to the body of Christ, and they're blaming it on grace. That was not God's intention. But God is looking for those who will be saved by his grace, just as it was in Noah's day. God found Noah, who was the only one blameless. Now, we can be blameless more easily in the new covenant. But back in the old covenant, before the blood of Jesus paid the price for our sin and built a bridge between sinful man and holy God so that we could literally stand before him in his presence uprightly. Sin forgiven. The power of Jesus' blood means this to me. God treats me now like I've never sinned. But in Noah's day, he didn't have the benefit of that covenant. And still, the Bible says he was blameless before God. He and God walked closely together. Sin was rampant, evil all over the world, but yet God found somebody who would be saved by grace. And again today, as it was in the days of Noah, God's grace is at the forefront of what he is doing in the earth. Grace, more powerful than sin. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The New Living Translation says it like this: as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. You can say amen right now. People sin more and more, but God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So, how was it in the days of Noah? As we're living in a time when history is repeating itself, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when I return. Evil runs rampant throughout the whole world. We can see it all the time. Number two, God is searching, like he did for Noah, still today, searching for those who will be saved by his grace. And then I want to linger at this point for a few minutes. Point number three, how was it in the days of Noah, and how is it in the days in which we live? Hearing the voice of God will make a difference between life and death. That's what happened in Noah's day. Noah was able to hear the voice of God when God gave him a life-saving instruction. Noah heard it and obeyed the voice of God, and it made the difference between life and death, not only for Noah, but for his family. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, listen to the prophetic covering in this, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, Noah built an ark to save his family. Now, we have categorized Noah in our lifetime. We've put him as merely nothing more than a story to tell our kids in Sunday school when they're 3, 4, and 5. We give them a piece of paper to color, and they've got the ark and all the animals walking into the ark. You know, Noah is famous for building that ark. But he was a very real man. Jesus referenced him and used him as the model when he said, as it was in Noah's day, it's going to be that very same way when the Lord returns for his church. That's the day, perhaps, in which we live. So we can learn a lot from this man, Noah. Now, we need to give him the appreciation and the respect he deserves for his single act of obedience. Let's contrast for a minute Adam and Noah. We all look to Adam as the one, the first Adam as the forefather, the forerunner for all of us. But let's contrast Adam and Noah. And I'll tell you who my favorite is. Noah. Adam is famous for one act of disobedience. Noah is famous for one act of obedience. We're alive today not just because of Adam, but none of us would be here if it had not been for Noah and his act of obedience that saved humanity from destruction. If there was no Noah, there would not have been an Abraham. There would not have been a Moses. There would not have been a David. There would not have been an Elijah or an Elisha. Bring it right on down to our day and our generation. If there had not been a Noah that saved humanity when evil was running rampant and God wanted to pour his grace out to the upright, there would be no Carl. There would be no Steve. There would be no Brenda, no Lori, no Sandra, no Linda, no Lena, no Travis, no Sandra. There would be none of us. Noah's my favorite. I like Noah better than Adam. Noah got me in big trouble. Adam got me in big trouble. But Noah was part of my deliverance. And let's look at what he did. Now let's appreciate this great man more than we ever have because he deserves it. Noah's Ark ranks as one of the most epic construction projects in history, and we have failed to appreciate it. Listen, the ark Noah built when God spoke to him and gave him that instruction was the first boat ever built in the world. There was none before that. It required creative genius. It had never been done before. Noah poured himself into this project. It was blood, sweat, and tears, plus brains and faith at work. Jewish tradition, I shared this with the men in a fellowship meeting a few weeks ago. The Jews teach, and Noah is important to them, as he is to us. But the Jews teach that when Noah, as a young man, heard God give him that instruction to build an ark so that he and his family could be saved. The Jews teach that when God told him what kind of wood to use, Noah went and planted those trees and waited years for them to grow up big enough that he could cut them down and saw them and begin building the ark out of the specific wood God told him to use. The ark was not just the first boat. It was a large one. It was more than 1.5 football fields long. It was not until the late 1800s that another ship that large was built on the planet. A huge project. Epic inside. The internal size, or the square footage of the ark, was the equivalent of 550 boxcars, all in one boat, the first boat ever built. The National Zoo in Washington, D.C. has 2,000 animals. The National Zoo. The ark Noah built, with all the animals that came on board, could house 60 zoos the size of our national zoo. Now, I do have some questions. Noah, why'd you bring the termites and the gnats? And why'd you leave off that unicorn? But let's appreciate this act of obedience. It took 120 years to build. That made it the longest act of obedience recorded in the Bible. God spoke to a man. Noah heard God's voice and obeyed immediately. And for 120 years, he pressed in to obey the instruction God had given him. The longest act of obedience anywhere in Scripture. And Noah looked like a fool for 120 years building an ark when it had never rained. There had never been a raindrop fall until the flood. God's original idea for moisturizing and watering the vegetation on earth is every morning there would be a mist rise from the ground. And all the plants and the crops would have all they need from this gentle mist. And Noah hammered away for 120 years. Everybody making fun of him. He was a godly man, and that's enough to be mocked in our day as it was in Noah's day. But still, he kept hammering away. And even though it had never rained, and he didn't even know what a flood looked like, he kept obeying God for 120 years. In Noah, we get an accurate picture of what obedience looks like. I'm all about Noah. Appreciate Noah these days. He's more than a comic book character like we've relegated him to in a Sunday school lesson if we're not careful. This was a real man with real faith, and he stood out head and shoulders above everybody else in his generation. He was the one man God said is upright. I'm going to destroy all the evil I see in the world, but I'm going to spare him because he and I have a relationship, and my eyes have fallen on him, and he's found grace in my sight, God said about Noah. Now, obedience, we can see from Noah's life, is hard work. Faith is not easy. Faith is not passive. Faith is not always quiet. Sometimes faith is stubborn. Faith is always strong. And faith is really not finished until there's an action that goes with it. The Bible says, faith worketh. Faith worketh by love. It was a mess inside that ark for all those many days it was floating. Imagine being cooped up in that thing and it was airtight. One African elephant, and there were two. One African elephant. Let me use the right word here. Produces. That's the right word. Produces 80 pounds of, the right word again, waste every day. 80 pounds of waste every day from one elephant. And there were two. Only one window. God said, keep that shut until I tell you to open it. Only one door. And if they'd have cracked the door for fresh air, they would have all sunk. And none of us would be here. Faith worketh. Obedience for 120 years. Imagine it. It was hard work. And he looked like a fool. Has God ever asked you to do something that required such ridiculous faith that you risk looking foolish in order to obey God? Noah certainly did. Sometimes God will give us an instruction, and if we're obedient to it, the world thinks we're foolish. Sarah, 90 years old, out buying maternity clothes. Don't you think? Don't you think the greeter at Walmart, yes, can I help you? Aren't you Abraham's what, Sarah? Yeah, I heard about you. Yeah, what are you looking for? Where can I point you in the right direction? Well, I'm wanting some maternity clothes. Aren't you about 90? Yeah, but I'm wanting some maternity clothes. I'm going to get pregnant. How about David, that little boy? David, the little boy, how foolish he looked running toward that huge giant with a rock and a rope twirling in his hand. How foolish. And then the army of Israel marching around the city walls of Jericho, wanting to defeat an enemy that had a stronghold there, and they were blowing trumpets. Foolish. And in the New Testament, how about the Apostle Peter? You look for, I mean, the next time you're out on a boat and other boats are within sight looking at you, get out of your boat and walk on the water and see how foolish you will look taking that first step out of the boat. But obedience requires faith, and Noah had the perfect man. Now, the story of Noah answers this question: how do you find grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord? The short answer is faith and obedience. That's the epitaph of Noah's life. Here's a faithful man who obeyed God. Even when God could not be heard on a wholesale basis, like it's possible to hear him today. We have his written word. Noah did not. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Noah did not. But even against all those odds, Noah heard God say, I'm going to destroy everybody but you and your family. Build a boat. Use this kind of wood. Make it this long. Make it that wide. Make it this high. And still to this day, the creative genius in the ark Noah built, the first boat ever built, is the perfect ratio, length, height, width, weight, the perfect ratio. Scientific engineers have never been able to improve on the ratio of the dimensions God gave Noah to build a boat that would float and be perfectly balanced. It's the same ratio they use today. Noah could hear clearly from God. And how do you find favor in God's sight? We do it in our day the same way Noah did it in the days when he lived. Faith and obedience. Just faith and obedience. Now, some people struggle with hearing from God. How do you know it's God? And in our men's meeting that night, that was a topic of conversation. Many men spoke up and said, you know, I struggle. And don't we all? Is this God speaking to me? Or is this my human spirit? Is this my mind? Or is it the mind of God? Well, we have a right to know. It's much easier in our day to hear clearly from God. We have everything we need to get a great, clear word from God. Noah had nothing like we have today. And yet, he heard clearly from God. So I'll give you this just before we dismiss. When you hear a word of wisdom, you have heard the voice of God. They're the same thing. When you hear a word of wisdom, you have heard the voice of God. Listen to what the Proverbs say about wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. You can read this later, Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Incline your ear to wisdom. Seek wisdom as if it were silver. Search for wisdom's hidden treasure. And then, just to show you how easy it is to hear a word of wisdom, to hear the voice of God, Solomon said this in Proverbs, wisdom cries out loud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square. I mean, if you have an ear to hear, wisdom will speak. God can speak clearly. And when you hear a word of wisdom, you have heard the voice of God. Solomon continues, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Then it says this, happy, happy, happy is the man. How many of you want to be happy? I want to live in a happy place. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. And the man who gains understanding. All the things you may desire cannot compare with wisdom. Solomon said, get wisdom. That's pretty simple. Get it. Just get it. Get wisdom, he said. Get understanding. Do not forget the words of my mouth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, he repeats it, get wisdom. Now, you know God would not require, expect, instruct us to do anything that we can't do. And his instruction is get wisdom. It's the principal thing. You'll be happy if you get it. Search for it like hidden treasure. Search for it as if it had the value of silver. Exalt wisdom, he said, and she will promote you. Wisdom will bring you honor when you embrace her. Wisdom will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. Wisdom will deliver to you. And then Solomon said this, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Solomon said, keep wisdom, for she is your life. When you hear a word of wisdom, you have heard the voice of God. I preached it. I live by it. I'm a simple man. I'm not theological way out there. Sat through enough classes that have been boring. Wrote enough papers. Passed barely. But to me it's simple. Easy to hear from God. Hard to miss. My faith is not only in my ability to hear, which we must be able to hear. He speaks his word as we are able to hear. Mark 4:33. But my faith is not only in my ability to hear, but by far much more, I place my faith in his ability to speak. If he can speak that clearly to Noah, give Noah an instruction, and if Noah had the heart for God to spend 120 years in the single greatest act of obedience in the Bible, then I want to hear from God and be obedient to what I hear. It makes the difference in our day between life and death. How was it in the days of Noah? The same way it is in our day today. Evil is running rampant throughout the whole earth, but God is searching for those who will be saved by his grace. How was it in the days of Noah? And how is it the same in our day? Because in Noah's day, hearing the voice of God made the difference between life and death for him and his family. And in our day, the day in which we live, it is coming to that. Our ability to hear the voice of God when he gives us an instruction and our heart to obey him regarding of how foolish we may look will make the difference, perhaps, between life and death for us and our family. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. We're going to close with a prayer of blessing. Blessing over you. Bow your head, please. Every eye closed. Father, thank you for calling us together for a special time like this morning. Thank you for speaking something we need to hear. Thank you for the ability you've given us to hear you when you speak. Our faith is strong in your ability to communicate. We hear you when you speak. And then our prayer today is that our heart would be turned so perfectly toward you that we would be quick to obey the instruction you give us. It will make the difference between life and death in our day, just like it did in the days of Noah. So whatever adjustment we need to make while you're standing in your place right there, standing where you are, if you need to make an adjustment in your heart, do it, Master. Just do it between you and the Lord. Let him take his hand and hold your heart and tweak it and turn it and adjust it to where it is perfectly true north, pointing to him. Father, thank you for giving us a perfect heart toward you. We are all ears to hear you speak to us instructions in our day that may save our very lives. Evil is all throughout the earth, but you protect your people. You guard those who trust in you. And that's our declaration that you are our God, and it's in your name that we trust, even in this evil day. And so thank you for your promise of protection that comes with that. Bless your people today who've honored you by coming to your house on the Sabbath to give you our worship and to hear a word from heaven. Would you bless them this week? Meet every need, especially during this time of year. May these indeed be holy days realized in every home connected to our church. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the whole church said amen. We're going to dismiss you and allow those of you who need to leave to do so. Thanks for being here. For those of you who would like to stay and witness a beautiful baby dedication for the Turner family, just hang in.